You know, I wish Christians didn't act so awfully sometimes. I wish the song, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love," proved true all the time. And yet so often I am hurt, bothered, and angered and frustrated by the behavior of far too many Christians. I know it's not all Christians, but I wish it wasn't so many. In this week's Bible reading, Jesus noticed a woman who couldn't stand up straight for 18 years. In other Gospels, the same story is there, and it gives the reason for her not being able to stand up straight. She was bleeding for 18 years. Every woman out there is going to look at me like, "Oh, no, absolutely not." The rules of society said that this woman had to separate herself from the rest of society. She was supposed to do that for a few days each month, but she had to do it for 18 years. And the rules said that Jesus wasn't allowed to do anything about it on the Sabbath. Knowing the problem with the rules, Jesus healed the woman on the Sabbath. What he did was against the detailed rule structure. So Jesus was a lawbreaker. And that should be the end of it, right? No more debate about anything else related. Jesus broke the law, and it was wrong. Wrong. Because it's more complicated than that. Jesus showed that a strict adherence to the law while ignoring God's two unbreakable rules, love God, love everyone, makes the law something that harms rather than helps. And he said it. He said, "You hypocrites, do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" Being a Christian is about what Jesus did. Being a Christian isn't about things like "get off my lawn," or "that's my stuff," or "how dare you say that about me," or "keep them out of here," or "you can't serve in the military if you're like that," or "you started it, I get revenge." Sometimes people hear things like that and think, "but that's so divisive when you call out stuff like that. Aren't there good people on all sides?" Well, Jesus called out the leader of the synagogue on hypocrisy. It was better to do good than harm. And by following the law in this case, Jesus would have been harming when he could have been doing good. And the synagogue leader wasn't pleased. The entire crowd, though, they got it. They rejoiced at all the wonderful things Jesus was doing. Because one of the things that is our call is calling out injustice. But kindness is also our call. And they don't always go together. So we follow Jesus' example. We stand up to injustice, and we have a call to continue doing good. We have a call to love God and to love everyone. We have a call to stay away from selfishness and entitlement in favor of generosity and abundance. That's the Christian way. But we don't need to live as Christians simply not doing the negative stuff. We do what Christianity is about rather than not doing what it's not about. We follow God, the two rules. Of course, love God, love everyone. And then here's another set of guidelines. Do good, that's from today's reading. Seek justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. That's from Micah 6:8. So this list about "get off my lawn, that's my stuff" and everything, let's revisit that. what Christianity is not. And let's turn some of them, all of them, more of them, into some concrete calls to action. Things that we could do today. Things that we could do this week. Bring dinner to, give a ride to, or become friends with someone who is undocumented. Or collect some of your best stuff and give it to a charity that'll use it to help those who don't have enough. Instead of collecting your worst stuff, collect your best stuff. Or turn swords into plowshares, weapons into art, violence into peace. Now, I've talked about it before over the last couple years, and we've never really gotten around to it. And by not gotten around to it, it hasn't been one of the priority projects, but maybe we can make it that. How about we can get involved again with a peace and liberation mural project? How would that work? We would create a mural. We have artists in the congregation, and I've talked to them before, and we had, you know, some ideas, and we just haven't gotten around to it. But we create a mural that says, maybe, you know, let peace prevail, or something. We'll come up with a phrase, and it's got art all over it, and then we display that here and other places, and we have a whole bunch of Sharpies, and people can come up there and write messages for hope or peace on it. And then it travels, and people write it, and it travels. And does it have a permanent home? No, it doesn't have a permanent home. And what happens when it's all done? We probably roll that one up and make another one, because the purpose of it isn't to create this lasting memorial, but to work together for peace and liberation in the world. A peace and liberation mural project. So if you're interested in something like that, and I know some of you are because you've talked to me about it before, let's find a way to do it. I'm looking at the program director, I'm looking at the artists, I'm looking at everybody here. On maybe 10 Sundays after church, we would set up the banner and we would paint our part of it. So it would take a while. And then when that was done, it would travel. We'd have to have a good way to display it, all of those things, but what a lasting kind of ministry of peace, Memorial Church, that could be, and something that we could keep doing for years and years and years. And all the art would be beautiful, and all the things that people wrote or drew on that would be beautiful. And there's more than that. Here's a hard one, though. You ever have family gatherings and people say some things that make you go like, ugh, Uncle so-and-so or whatever, I can't believe that. Could we do it? Call out bigoted racists and just plain awful comments and behavior from friends and family? Oh, that's hard to do, especially at Thanksgiving or July 4th picnic. I'm not even sure how to do that because I've got people in my extended family. I was like, oh, I don't know. It just can't. Okay, something easier then. Have a cup of coffee and chat with somebody who you consider to be an adversary. I don't agree with you about anything. Let's have coffee. Could work. Expand friendships with people who look different and think differently than you are. And then don't stop there. When you see injustice, do something about it. Speak about it. Write a letter to the local paper. Volunteer at the hospital. Attend a protest for peace and liberation. Be a voice of reason and kindness in a world too filled with fear and rage. So, Peace Memorial Church, let's be God's neighborhood. God's shalom. God's salam. God's namaste. God's healing. Amen.